time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Tuesday, and I couldn't miss it. I miss a lot of time, Wayne. I miss a lot of time, and that's okay, because I couldn't miss this, man. How are you? How's the Wayne Breezy?
Yeah, the Wayne Breezy, he's hanging in there, man. And I'm doing pretty good, though. I'm not going to lie. I'm healthy. I'm good to go.
Oh, hey, if you got your health, you're all right. Everything else, we keep scrapping. We're scrappy. You know what I'm talking about? It's 100%. What it is. So today, I'm pretty excited about this because there's like the NFL just absorbs, you know what I mean, the entire calendar. And so like you kind of go off pace. And so we got the schedule release on Thursday. The draft's done. Free agency's done. All that stuff. So we have a 90-man roster. Actually, 91-man roster. All that stuff. And so I'm going through this ranking where we do this every year with our roster countdown 1 through 91. And I've got too many issues. Yeah. And so this is where Judge Breezy will be presiding over today. And I want to focus as much time at the top because I'm stuck. Even the top five. It's just a glob, and I can't differentiate this player is more important than that player this year and all that stuff. So we're going to spend a lot of time on that. Have to say thank you to everybody in the chat. I love it. And again, with the schedule coming out, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. We have tickets up there. I'm announcing already 5 cities that are guaranteed, don't care when they are. We're going to be in Melbourne, Australia. Those events are up already. Whether you want the full package or you just want to come for the tailgate or you just want to come for the day before, those are up now at 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Mexico City. Hey, Mexico part 2, baby. Wayne and I had the best time ever there last year. We think we know about where the dates are going to be. Dallas, not missing that one. Kansas City, best barbecue ever, and Atlanta. Those are the musts. Now, we might add L.A. with the Chargers. It's been a while since we did L.A. Arizona and Seattle were always there. Probably going to be there again, but I got to wait and see and get the wife approval, all that kind of stuff. But 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. And as soon as that schedule comes out, site's live now. You can go get your tickets reserved now for those 5. But once the dates get set and everybody can kind of whatever. How do you feel about the schedule release? Like, are you – do you kind of like – go through it and you're just like, oh, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Like, how do you enjoy schedule release night?
I actually like it's another event, right? It's like, you just, you know, and the crazy thing is, it's like all the leak stuff is going to be coming out over the next couple of days, right? You're going to get all the primetime games. Those are going to get leaked first and foremost. So we'll know. You know, I think my question would be like, are the Niners going to get about 5 primetime games? I feel like that's kind of where we are. Anything less than that is uncivilized, but I'm hoping we get the 5 primetime games because then that means those games are going to be either on a Thursday or Sunday night or Monday night, which is good for me because the weekends I work.
So,
right. Yeah. Right. So now I get an extra day to travel or whatever. So this would be great, but I'm excited about schedule night. We know the teams that we're playing. We just don't know when we're playing them. And so that's what that night is all about. And then I can start checking off boxes. Yep, going to that one. Definitely going to try to hit up at least one West Coast game this year. You know, me going West Coast, man, it's been a minute.
See, and it's funny because we used to do the LA all the time. Shoot, I used to live there and it was just easy. But with the stadium, it took a while to get caught up. But now we have venues close to the stadium where it works. And so logistically, like people don't understand, like to plan parties correctly, you got to have a good venue. Well, now that is there. Tom's Watch Bar, who we have a partnership with, just opened a location next door and they've got a pool and all kinds of stuff. Like, I mean, it is like Southern California tailgate. You had me at pool. Look at these cheeks. I love the sun. It's what it is.
The sun, getting ready for my wedding season. Yeah. Oh,
so wedding season's picking up. That's going to be fun. Don't you love that wedding and football season coincide? That they're not offset at all.
Absolutely freaking not. Absolutely not. Like, I feel like weddings should be done from May to July, May to August, but no, people want to get married in September. Do you remember in October and November and December? The freak, it's cold.
Quit being selfish, people. Get married outside. My very first football staff meeting ever, the coach literally led with, plan your pregnancies around football season. it was like the first thing he said.
Oh, well, get pregnant during football season. So that way you have the baby after the season, right? That's how it works. Conceive during.
That's right. And I just remember laughing like, "Hi, he's funny." And he was like, no, you will not be allowed to miss games. You will not. And I was just like, whoa, dude, this ain't that big of a deal. Come on now. I love football. Like, listen. Right. Anyway, all that being said, right here, Steven says, Jason, you doing a rush road trip for the Charger game? Probably. That's in my maybe pile. Again, just so everybody understands, schedule comes out. I get my 5 dates, and then the wife, we have to sit down and negotiate and, you know, all that stuff. She gets the stamp of approval, which she's the best ever. She lets me do all these. She's actually coming to Australia, which is going to be great.
Nice.
And so, yeah, we got to see how it falls with holidays, birthdays, all that kind of stuff. We're empty nesters this year, so we're going to be traveling to see the kiddos and all that stuff. So we got to make it all fit. But I would like to do the Chargers game. That is the plan. I think it's going to be a really, really big event and whatnot. But yeah, we'll see. Man. We'll see.
That'd be epic too, because it's Harbaugh, and would be. I feel like Harbaugh is gonna bring the D, man, and it's gonna Kyle Shanahan is gonna fall to the D once again. Like, you know how some of those defenses are. Harbaugh's a hard nosed guy. So I'm excited for that game. Now that I think about it, that's gonna be.
I actually like the Chargers. Like, I like the way they play. I like Mike McDaniel. I like Harbaugh. Like, I even like the quarterback. Like, there's a lot to like there.
Like the quarterback doesn't come off like a certain type of ways. You know, he's still, I think he's underrated, you know. It's going to be a fun game. Fun game. Fun game.
It's
going to
be good. Look at this. We got some really good comments already. And I want to talk about this. Yotsik, man. He says, at Wayne, loved your optimism this week regarding both the new defensive and offensive approaches for the 49ers season. God bless, sir. Wayne, share with us just briefly, why is it that you feel optimistic about this situation? I listened to a bunch of the show. I jumped in and out. Talk to me just a little bit about why you feel so optimistic about the way things are going.
Yeah, I mean, you get another defensive coordinator in here that your head coach trusts, right? So right there, the micromanaging is not going to be in the defensive room again, right? Because you go from Robert Saleh to Raheem Morris, and you're just like, oh, what's going to be the drop-off? What's going to be this? Well, I'll tell you what, it won't be a drop-off when it comes to trust, and you don't have to worry about that portion. I just feel like Raheem Morris, and he's been around football for a very long time. He's been around these types of systems for a very long time. He's really good friends with Kyle Shanahan, and I think that's going to actually go a long way. Then you're bringing in a defensive secondary minded coach, right? And so, like, what's the area that we feel like we need to improve in? The secondary. We need picks, we need turnovers, we need those things. And so you get Raheem Morris, he brings in his secondary coach, he gets a guy that he wants. And so now it's just like, all right, that's probably going to be the focal point. They addressed it, the defensive front, in the draft and in free agency and in, you know, as far as trades or whatever. So they literally bolstered up. And then we have money. And so I feel like the defense is going to be one of those type of defenses where it's not going to be super philosophical. It's still going to have some things and nuances to it, but those guys are going to be able to fly around. And how can we not be excited and not getting back Nick Bosa and Fred Warner? I don't care about anybody else. I like Michael, but they're not Nick Bosa. He's not Nick Bosa, or he's not Fred Warner. Those two back alone gives me optimism through the roof. I know they're returning off of injury. Ask me if I care. Those guys train. They train harder than probably anybody else in the league, and they're training to return back from injury. How are they going to play? I mean, that's to be determined, but I'm going optimism here, man. We've seen Nick Bosa return from an ACL before and went on a sack record season. We've seen Fred Warner never really get injured, but I mean, he's going to be just fine. So I'm excited about that defense. You know what I mean?
I've always liked Raheem Morris. I think he's a damn good coach. And to bring that into this defense, there's a lot of pieces. It's not perfect. Safety position still, you know, you're kind of in trouble. But, man, that defensive line, you're three deep. You're three deep across every position once everybody's healthy, and that's a big if, and will that ever happen, whatever else. But, man, I'm with you, too. And the fact that Fred Warner was already fully practicing.
Correct.
That is such a giant just, like he's full go. Like, and so if Fred's good, I'm good. And then you talk about Bosa. Bosa's done this before, and his injury happened way earlier than Mikel's. So, like, I don't know, man.
I trust his return progress because he showed us that, hey, man, I've gotten an injury like this before. I could come back, return, and be explosive, right? I understand he's a little bit older, but he's not that old. Kid's still in his prime. I trust that. I trust him. I trust the way he eats. I trust the way he trains. I trust the way he works out. So I feel like defensively, that's going to keep the 49ers in the games. But I'm more excited about this offense. I feel like they've gotten faster. They've addressed it as far as speed and explosiveness. And no one loves explosive plays probably more than myself other than Kyle Shanahan, right? I think that is the key, you know, you got these guys that can create these big explosive plays down the field. And I'm not talking about guys catching 50-yard bombs. No, I'm talking about guys catching 10-yard, 3 yards and taking it down the field. That's a big part of Kyle Shanahan's system. I think they're going to run the ball. I know a lot of people feel like we didn't address the offensive line or we didn't get better at the offensive line. I'm just like, we didn't get worse.
You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co. It's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel, pick up the kids, they're out of school, adventure, it's all out there. For others, juggling it can be tough and can lead to being overwhelmed and counting down the minutes until the kids are back in school. And many worry they're wasting their days of sunshine. Well, therapy can help better understand their needs. Feel more confident about setting boundaries. Create a version of summer that actually feels good. And with over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. And it works. Their average rating is 4.9 out of 5 for live sessions based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the United States. And they do all the initial matching work with you for the therapist. Short questionnaire helps identify your needs, your preferences, and over 12 years of experience in the industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. But if you're not happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from all of the tailored recommendations. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy, sign up, and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
That's optimism. We literally didn't get worse. I mean, even if we bring back that same offensive line, I understand they got mollywopped by that Seattle's defensive front, but I think now we got guys that can create separation to where Brock can get the ball out of his hand a little bit quicker. So my optimism is I think the offense is going to be explosive. I think Clay Kubiak calls more than what we think. I know it's Kyle Shanahan's team and his offense is mine, but I think Kubiak's going to – I think he's got the keys, and this offense is going to be flying around. Motions, different sets, different players don't have to leave off the football field. I'm loving what I'm seeing from the 49ers.
I love this, man. I love that. We need optimism, especially after like last offseason. Like it didn't feel this way. It was last offseason was a lot of convincing, a lot of like, okay, I could see it. If all right, I guess this makes sense. When this, you don't need to be a genius to look at this roster and understand what the 49ers see and what they're trying to accomplish. And it's go after and get it, man.
Right.
It is 100% go and get it. I do have to say thank you to my man, Colin. He's gifting memberships out
Shout
here
out to Colin.
On YouTube. I think Kevin, Benji and Dad claimed it, man. I freaking love that. This community is just, there ain't nobody better, man.
It's beautiful, man.
I love it, dude.
Beautiful community. Beautiful.
My favorite thing is like, we get the honor of like meeting a lot of these people because we go to the games, you know, and like we're not up in the press box. We're down there freaking slamming beers and having a good time and having seltzers. And
Okay. I'm glad you threw the seltzers in there because I'm not a beer guy. Like, and that's the funny thing. I'm not a girl guy either. I just like the seltzers. That's just what I like. You know what
I mean? Delicious.
They taste good. They're probably high on sugar, but I really don't care. Like,
sometimes you
know
you got to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to enjoy it.
Life.
Look at this. Ronnie, is it better to buy flights early once the schedule releases, or can you get cheaper flights later? Here's what I always say. You get your hotels or Airbnbs and flights early.
Early.
Never buy game tickets early. The worst time to buy game tickets is when the schedule comes out. It is the worst time. So you get your flights, you get your hotels, and you get your 49ers Rush road trip tickets because those never go down in price. They only go up. Because once we hit our limit, I have to pay the venues more. And so then my costs go up. And so I have to mirror that. The goal with these Rush road trips is to break even and then pump it all back into the show. But so like just let you know, flights, hotels, Airbnbs, and then 49ers Rush road trip tickets, tailgate tickets, all that stuff right off the bat. I don't buy my game tickets until I'm walking to the stadium. And a lot of that is just because of TickPick, TickPick.com. If you haven't used it, use promo code 49ers. It's the best, man. Like instant delivery, all that kind of stuff. Simple. Yeah,
my philosophy is slightly different.
Go ahead.
Rock with John's.
Share.
Well, I don't look at the plane tickets like that. I look at it like, well, it's time to go and whatever that price is, that's what I'm going to pay. As far as plane tickets, now hotels you book now. Like, soon as you see it, you book the hotels now because that rate, I mean, listen, I'm praying gas go down. If gas go down, your plane ticket going to be cheaper. You know what I'm saying? A little bit later. You buy it right now, you're going to be paying premium gas. So that's how it works. But that's just me on the plane ticket, on the transpo part. John's right about everything else. He's probably right about the plane tickets, too. I don't even look at the ticket prices until it's time I'm going to the game. Like, hey.
Take it. People that get like anxiety and have to have things planned out, man, buy your game tickets. Like if gives you peace of mind. I saw my buddy Shane in the chat. Like I try to tell him all the time. Like we've gone to so many games.
Nah,
together. I love
Shane,
that man.
Shane is.
He got to have his tickets early. He's early. Got to have his tickets early. Not me. Yeah. I don't give a damn. I've never missed a game.
No.
So I'm waiting.
And seats don't be bad either. Hey, no. Look, I a lot, especially when you go to the away games, definitely buy your ticket on the way into the game. Like, definitely. Because cats are selling the tickets. Now they're going to want whatever they can get for it at that moment. Like, you know,
unless
what I mean?
It's prime time or a holiday game.
Unless it's prime time or a holiday. Correct.
I learned the bad way. I've learned. I've lost a lot of money. Learn from me. Chapman Travel. Boom, boom, boom. Anyway. All right. Let's get into this. And now I want to talk about most important 49ers. Okay. And again, I'm going to remove Brock Purdy from this conversation because I agree with what Doc Savage says here in his comment. He says, hashtag CC, get him, John. He says, the QB is by default the most important position, but with Mac, it's not as important as most teams. So I have Brock Purdy number one as far as most important to the 2026 season for the 49ers. Arguments, how do you feel about that? Is it Brock and nobody else? Like, he's the QB, most important position in sports.
Yeah, and because of Brock's skill set, it makes him the most important position. That's why I think the pressure is going to be mostly on Brock this year, because it's the most important position, and he has to perform. He has to also show how he's grown and gotten better at certain things. And so, you know, the thing is, defenses know Brock. They know his tendencies, and they're going to try to force him to his weaknesses, and Brock's going to have to overcome that little bit of adversity. I think the key to Brock, though, for me, is I just want the guy to go out there and have fun and play football. I feel like when Brock's out there having fun and playing football and less thinking, he makes less mistakes. And so we see Brock throw interceptions. It's because he's overthinking and he's holding the goddamn ball for too long. And just run, live to the next play. What Brock, the thing I love about Brock is he knows how to play the game. He knows the game. He just overcomplicates things a little bit. So I'm hoping that simplifies, because the way they addressed this offense this year, they went and got a guy that could stretch the football field down the field. They went and got a guy that could stretch the football field across the field as far as in the slot. Then they went and got out. They went and drafted a kid that 9 times out of 10 is going to play all 3 wide receiver positions as a rookie, just to get his feet wet. And I think he's going to be that guy that replaces the X man out there as far as wide receiver. You still got Christian McCaffrey. And so as far Brock's role is to get the ball to any playmaker. He's surrounded by playmakers, so just get it to one. If it's a check down, get it to him. If it's your tight end, get it to him. If it's your receivers, get it. That's Brock's role. And when all of that fails, take off and run. No turf toe this year. That's the key. Bing, bing, bing.
No turf toe. Now, back to his point, does the fact that Mac Jones, the best backup quarterback in the NFL, is there, does that lessen Brock's importance? I mean, Mac Jones went 5-3 as a starter last year.
It doesn't lessen it, because Brock clearly is still the better QB. I like what Mac Jones did last year, and he did go 5-3, but he's still not the guy. You know what I'm saying? You want the guy out there, so I still feel like, even though you got Mac Jones to help secure your quarterback position group, that's great. You know what I'm saying? For one more season on the cheap deal, sign me up. If anything does happen to Brock, you feel like that quarterback position should still be great. But that was last year. This is this year. We don't know what Mac Jones would be this year. You can only hope that he progresses. But we know Brock Purdy. Like, you know what I mean? We know Brock Purdy. Matt gave a 5-3 season once in his life, and Brock Purdy's given us way more than that. So I'm trusting that this is on Brock, and I'm glad we have a great solid backup, best backup in the game. Cause let's be clear, Mac probably should be starting for a different team. You know what I'm saying? But he's not, you know, cause he chose to come here.
Here, man, he gonna get paid.
I love for that. Sure.
Big Pop, what's up, man? He says, well, you have a package for Mexico like you do for Australia. It won't include flights. We'll do like a hotel, game ticket, tailgate, rally, all that stuff. But we've got that already kind of set up. We just have to wait for the concrete dates before we can put that out. So that won't be available this week. But yeah, we will have a Mexico package for sure together on that. Oh, look at this. The Striking Gold Podcast YouTube channel. Hey. New official. Shout out to Rob Lauder. If you guys haven't yet, go check out the Striking Gold Podcast on YouTube. It's a new edition. He's been doing the podcast longer than almost anybody.
Anybody, right.
Yeah, but now he's on the visual, so you get to see the beautiful face that is Rob Lauder.
the voice is amazing. Like, he has the perfect voice.
He's good
for this. Like you know, I'm trying to get my deeper, breezy voice for the podcast. You see, we got the same mics now. Like, you know, so, you know,
I don't think I sound as good as you. It's like the freaking Wayne Breezy listening to the thunder. Like you freaking, you got the roots in the show. You know what I mean? It's just what it is. Yeah, we will be in Texas. Oh, look at this. Shane says he's changing his philosophy this year.
It's time.
I hope you do. I don't believe it, Shane.
I don't believe it either.
I don't believe it. He gets so excited. He buys freaking club seats every time, man. And that's okay. That's okay. Okay, so here is the debate, and I want to limit it to just 4 guys. Like, I want to spend time here, and I want to go to different caveats, okay? Because I think the next 4 players, I think Brock Purdy's one, the quarterback, I get that. I'm kind of removing George Kittle from this conversation because the injury, like how that's going to play. That's a variable that I just want to kind of just set aside. The Achilles is a little different than ACL, and the time period of the injury makes it even worse. So it's four players and in no particular order: Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams. These four guys. So I want to approach this from different angles. I want to spend time here because I'm stuck. So this is where Wayne's going to sort things out for me. Is it premium position that matters the most? Is it best talent, or is it biggest drop off to backup that matters the most just for the 2026 season? When we're talking about these four guys, how do you differentiate? Just walk us through your process. We're not looking for a stone cut answer.
No,
right
I
now.
Got you. Like I'm a premium position guy. You got, let's go to the left tackle position, right? So if Brock is my number one thing, then number two by default, especially when you got a premium player at that position, is Trent Williams. The health of Trent Williams is key for so many reasons, because we can't scream, gotta protect Brock, and then you don't have your starting left tackle out there. And we know when Trent is not up to health par, and an offensive line really suffers. You know what I'm saying? Just that one person anchors four other grown-ass men, bro. That I don't even understand how one person can uplift four other guys. That's how dumb it is. That's why I couldn't understand this faithful fan base that just didn't want to pay this guy the money. Yo, bro, first of all, it's a premium position. That's number one. Number two, we talk about Trent Williams. He's about a guy that has not declined yet.
No, he's okay, still so maybe all pro this, last year.
Maybe this season he declines. I don't know. That's the gamble you take. But he has not shown the decline. He still has the will to play. And I'm sorry, man. You need your best run blocker and your best pass blocker out there. And so I know that's not a wide receiver, defensive end that's going to get you sacks. But it's,
so hold on. Because if you're talking premium position, defensive end is paid way more than tackle.
Than the left tackles?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Depending on the left tackle, though, right?
No, I don't. I think the top seven or eight defensive ends make more than the highest paid left tackle.
Yeah, it depends on which defensive end you're talking about. Because if you're talking about a guy that's predominantly just a pass rusher, I get it. If you talk about a guy that sets the edge, I'm still going to tackle.
Yeah. And I think certain teams value that more. The NFL cap, maybe not as much. Like, you see how many tackles go early in the draft. Like, left tackles go early in the draft. There's three that go by 11 every single year.
Every single year, bro. Never fails.
And this year, it was like all the way to pick nine. And I was like, oh, crap. And we were live. And I was like, dude, I don't think three tackles are going. And then it went tackle.
Tackle, right?
Like, it doesn't matter. I remember having the Kelvin Banks discussion last year. And I was like, guys, Kelvin Banks is not going to be there when the Niners pick at 11. And they're like, oh, he's trash. And like, he went at 10. Like, that's just the NFL covets that the position. Left tackle spot.
Yeah, because you're protecting the blind side of your quarterback, right? Like of a right-handed quarterback, right? So that's probably why. But it's really neck and neck then for me, because we're talking Nick Bosa. But see, Nick Bosa.
See, this is why I'm literally passing the buck, because my rankings have tied. Like, we rank, so me, Josh, Zach, and Ben, we rank every player 1 through 91, and then we combine the rankings, and we have ties. It's Trent Williams and somebody else. I don't want to say whom, but they're tied at number two. And it's your job. It's your job, Wade.
But so I need to know then so I can help break the tie, right?
Okay.
So is it Bosa and Williams?
No, it's Trent Williams and Fred Warner tied for number two.
Yeah. So that's interesting. That's interesting.
Because Fred Warner, I would argue. And here we go. Shout out to Johnny Dale. I see you in the chat.
What's up, Johnny?
Legend, man. Miss you, brother. And he's coming out to Atlanta this year, man. So
ATL, Johnny.
Dude, we rented the Battery in Atlanta. We freaking rented the Braves freaking party's headquarters.
Wow.
I was so freaking pumped. We've got some good videos this year. Anyway, whatever. That's another conversation. So here's my thing, okay? And I'm going to make the case here. Sorry, I'm giving my opening statement for Fred Warner as the second most important player on this team. One, he's in his prime. I would argue Trent is not, right? 29 versus what, 39?
30. Oh, yeah.
38. Also, what happens with leadership and all that stuff? Not saying Trent's not a leader, because he is. When they go into the locker room, if Kyle has to make adjustments, he says, Fred, you've got the speech. Fred gives the halftime adjustment speech more often than Kyle Shanahan in the locker room. The leadership and consistency and just no drama ever. Like, So now at the premium position, I get that, and that goes in Trent's favor. Hall of Fame goes in Trent's favor. Prime, leadership, character. Not that Trent doesn't have those things, but Trent's about his money, and there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. I'm saying if I had a leader, Fred Warner is him, number one.
Yeah, I would say Fred is the number one leader on this team. But that doesn't make him the number one player on this team.
Because he was a leader even after he got hurt. He wasn't sitting up in the booth and all that stuff. He was giving halftime speeches. He didn't have his dip can and all that stuff.
Fred Warner is my favorite player on this team. But I don't know, man. I don't think this offense works without a Trent Williams. Just like the defense doesn't work without a Fred Warner. It's almost identical. Like, I can understand.
Johnny Dale.
Fred doesn't have a no holdout.
Their priorities are different.
The priorities are different. Right. And so I don't know, man. I don't know. If we were talking about probably any other left tackle, I would take Fred Warner all day. The fact that it's Trent Williams, though.
There's not a wrong answer here.
It's not preference, though. Like, if you're adding in the leadership value, then Fred has to be number one. There's no greater leader in the sport of the NFL.
I want to see what the chat says. Okay. Like, just between two players, most important, just to 2026, just to this season, we're not talking long term, most important player to the 2026 season, Fred or Trent? That's it. Fred or Trent? Put it in the chat. Let's kind of see.
It's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough. It's not an easy one. John always comes up with these super complex things, man, every single week.
And I can't answer them. Smiling. I just throw it to you.
We're going
to
just get on the show. We're just going to have some fun. This ain't fun. You're asking me to pick between 1A and 1B? Man, please.
Yeah, I know. And I do believe.
Threw my favorite player in there, and it's like, pick Trent already, and it's like, Fred going to look at me like, bruh. I'm going to be like, well, bruh. But can you block the court for the quarterback?
I wonder what the players would answer this. Like, if you said you
Trent.
Can't,
I think
you can't
Trent
answer
yourself. Fred, and then Fred would say Trent. I think that's how it would go.
I bet they would too.
That's so dope, man. I love that.
I wonder. Yeah. So right here, CMC. It's CMC. We haven't even talked about that yet. Fred, Trent. Oh, Yatsik says Trent. It's easy. O-line without Brindle. How Brindle get in this conversation? We're talking.
I know how he got, because I said that one man makes everybody else better. That's why.
Oh, there we go.
And that wasn't a shot at Pooney or McKivitz. It's just that's how much he anchors that line. It's crazy.
It's different. Niners on the Go podcast. Go check him out. He said it's still Trent, but it's 1A, 1B situation for sure. Niners on the Go. He's with you completely. All pro Fred.
It's tough.
Shane says Trent because of what Wayne said. Look at win-loss record. That's the thing. We don't have a lot of games without Warner. And, man, whenever he went down in Tampa last year, dude, that was just like,
It's like the second time that, you know, so it makes me really think about this, right? Because I didn't think about this until now because I didn't know this is what we were doing. But it makes me think about how the 49ers kind of covet that linebacking position. And hear me out. This might take me 2 minutes.
Oh, I love this.
Dre Greenlaw goes down. The whole team is deflated. We lose the Super Bowl. Fred Warner goes down. No one.
That whole stadium. Bucks fans were deflated. Bucks players were deflated. It changed everything, dude.
It changed everything. But Fred Warner goes down, and it's just like, oh my gosh, this linebacking position. That's how crazy it is. Like it might be the secret to the San Francisco 49ers. I think it's literally the heart of the 49ers. You get the right linebacker in there, and that something happens to that linebacker, it doesn't matter if it's Fred, it didn't matter if it was Dre, the heart stopped. Like literally. And we were trying to literally resuscitate the rest of the season with the younger guys, and it just didn't work. And even when Dre Greenlaw went out, we tried to resuscitate it with veteran depth, and it just didn't work. I'm happy that both of the motherfuckers are back. Like that right there, I think Fred Warner is only going to elevate to like whatever is higher than all pro. Like you, because Greenlaw's back.
I love him, man. Best linebacker franchise history of all 32 teams. It's not close. And I got to say this too. Navarro Bowman's not coaching this year. Yeah, y'all know that's my guy.
That's my guy.
And so we're in talks with Bowman and his people. We getting him out. I'm telling you this right now. Navarro Bowman come partying with us 40 hours rush road trip. Like,
that's my guy, yo.
We missed him.
Only thing I don't like about him is he went to Penn State. So, like, every time
you
I
love
see
Penn
him,
State players every time we do draft talk.
I don't know why he rubs it in my face. Like, whenever I see him, he just wants to throw Penn State out there. I'm like, bruh, they trash. I mean, I know Michigan was trash too, but like, come on. Like, it was the year Michigan was good. But we had to play each other that weekend. I remember that, man. I think his team beat my team too.
Yeah. Johnny Dill. He's over here freaking spitting hot fire. The game Chicago against Chicago, Brock scored 5 touchdowns with Pleasants in. The drop off from Fred to Bethune was like going from Sean Connery to Roger. Hey, be careful.
That's
Roger
messed up,
Moore.
Bro.
Hey,
that
was
kind of messed up. That's a big drop. That's a big drop, Johnny. That's a big drop.
I kind of like Roger Moore now. He's not Sean Connery, but anyway.
He's not Sean Connery. No.
Schwartz. right here. Can you separate Fred Warner, yes. Dre Greenlaw, all those guys? Yeah, they're just perfect. So, all right. So you're going to say Trent. He's number 2 for you. I'm going to say Fred.
That's cool.
But, like, there's no wrong answers.
No, but Christian McCaffrey's next.
Oh, okay. Well, guess what? We're about to do that right now. And so, yeah, let's get weird right after this. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community, and all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. Oh, look at this.
I love the chat. The chat is on point, man.
Oh, dude. And it's because we love these players. Yeah. And that is what's so cool. And the only reason why I bring this up is because we're doing that 90-man roster countdown. And I'm abbreviating it this year just so everybody knows. I'm doing like 5 players per episode instead of 1 individual. I got to cut some stuff, sadly, this offseason. But right here, Filthy Casual. Niners beat the Eagles with Kendricks as our Mike linebacker. Not wrong.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the next 2. Nick Bosa and Christian McCaffrey. So Nick Bosa and Christian McCaffrey, because you've got one that plays premium player, defensive player of the year.
That's Nick Bosa.
Paid 3 times more than Christian McCaffrey is.
For sure.
But everything went through number 23 last year, where this had 40 touches a game.
Bro. I think if he could have played defense, he would have. It's amazing how we go from a guy like Deebo Samuel forcing him to play kind of like this wide back role. Then you bring in Christian McCaffrey, which kind of takes that away from Deebo Samuel. Christian was the offense. Let's just be honest. He's the guy that can line up wide. He was the guy that can line up in the slot. He was the guy that lined up in the backfield. And it was really hard to take him off the football field. I love Nick Bosa. I really do. We need that defensive presence. But I feel like we were able to I know the numbers were bad, but there were times when even with Nick Bosa, we still weren't getting sacks. I mean, the pressure rate might have went up a little bit, but finishing was still a problem. I don't know. I feel like for me, Christian McCaffrey, without that, without him being on the football field, like the offense doesn't kind of flow. Like, you know what I mean? Like it just does. There's no flow. So there's no rhythm. There's no rhythm. And how many times have we seen Christian McCaffrey even get stopped in the backfield, but they still can utilize him in a different way, whether it was receiving. And I think because of that factor, if it was any other running back, they wouldn't be in this conversation. But you're talking about a running back that is a wide receiver and a running back and almost had 2,000 all-purpose yards. I mean, 2,000 yards, 1,000 receiving, 1,000 rushing. It's kind of hard not to take that, even though it's not a premium position. I understand Nick Bosa's premium. He's getting paid premium money, and he's got to go out there and produce sacks. But he doesn't. He doesn't consistently produce. I mean, double-digit sacks, I guess, is great, you know, but I want the 20s. I want the Myles Garrett numbers every year. I want that to be consistent.
He's a unicorn, man.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, that's when I think of an edge rusher, and I know that's not Nick Bosa. He's more of a, what,
tactician?
Yeah.
Does it all. Yeah, he's not the athlete with the burst or whatever else. Not that he's a bad athlete, but he's a technician. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
I like this from Bobo. Well said. Nicholas John Bosa is more important than CMC. If it was a few years ago, CMC was more important.
Going back to the age conversation. I like that, though. That makes sense. And I think that's a valid thing. That's what John was saying about even with the Trent Williams situation. You got a player, Fred Warner, in his prime. You got Nick Bosa in his prime compared to CMC, who's kind of teetering out, not in his prime, right? The burst is gone. But even though the burst is gone, I think my argument is he was still the most dominant player on the football field last year without the burst. And so I understand he's getting older, but if you take that piece away, your offense changes drastically. Defenses change up how they're going to play you. McCaffrey's that. If you had to give McCaffrey on a chess piece name, what would he be, John?
Probably be the queen because he does everything. Like,
that's crazy.
Side diagonal, whole way.
Like that's an important. The queen literally is the most important piece in chess.
But okay, well, again, I'm just devil's advocate here
for sure.
Like. If you asked 32 teams, you could have Nick Bosa or you can have Christian McCaffrey. 32 teams would take Nick Bosa every time. They're the same age.
Yeah, it's the position, though.
It's the position.
You could get a running back, but they won't be the caliber of CMC. That's a gift to get a caliber running back, a running back at that caliber, right?
Let me ask this because this plays into factor for me. Does the usage totals from last year affect how you see Christian McCaffrey heading into this season? Because for me, it does.
It does. He's not going to get utilized that much this year.
There's
not
no way, right?
No, because they added other weapons, right? So the offense still will run through McCaffrey. We still got to run
the
ball.
You had no options last year because you were depending on Ayuk. He never showed up.
And he never showed up. So zero options other than me. And the teams knew it. They were teeing off. It's almost like in that game against Philly when Brock was hurt and they was like, oh, he hurt. Let's just go after him. Let's just keep going at him. And they had to take him out. So I feel like that's how it was with Christian McCaffrey. And he took the beating, man. And to show that he was durable through that gives me something, man. That kid's got heart. For heart of gold and red.
I probably should have showed this earlier. Like, this is what I drink from every day, right? Like,
it's funny because, I'm going to tell
through it. It's been through
I had Fred Warner, man. He's a great guy. Great guy, too.
Does this affect, because this affects me, too, Marco.
Is very important, though.
He says, but I struggle with money first guys. Like, I am a fan.
Really? Why?
I want them to get their money, but if that's what's important to them, they chose that. Myles Garrett and Breece Hall, right? Congratulations. You guys got paid. You'll never compete for anything. You'll never be a part of a championship team. You'll never even probably make the playoffs for the rest of their careers. Probably not going to happen. Like, I mean, they chose.
They're in bad organizations.
They chose to stay there.
I understand that, but my point, I guess what I'm trying to say is like, why can't you get money get your money and still be dominant. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, and so, like, I want everybody to get paid.
They chose to stay at a team. They chose the team that took the chance on, that drafted them, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, some people just don't want to leave home. There's a lot of factors that go into not.
Cleveland? You want to stay in Cleveland?
I mean, I don't want to stay in
Cleveland.
Downtown's
not bad.
I'm just saying, look, I just we don't know their situation.
Somebody's like, why are we taking shots on Cleveland?
I don't know. I mean, Nick chose the money. Trent chose the money, but they're here. So they we feel here. That way. I don't get that.
It knocks a little bit of the passion out. Now, I don't have a private jet and I never will. Like for me, and again, like we project our own whatever. Like me, I've not been a money chaser. Like that's not the decisions that I have made to lead me here, obviously. But the Pat, whenever there are players like Trent or Bosa or Debo or Ayuk, it just knocks a little bit out for me.
I try not to look at the money, yo. I feel like if those guys show up and they play football, like, pay them motherfuckers. Like, I mean, we're talking about a dangerous sport. We're talking about, like, you know, and we're talking about a sport that continues to grow monetarily wise on a financial basis. Like, it's growing, man. You got all these TV contracts, all these TV deals. Every player out there is trying to get the most that they can get, especially when they've proven themselves in this league consistently. Again, if you add that word consistently in there, why do we care about their money? Especially if they're showing up to work.
I don't care about their money. I care about when their money gets in the way of the team. That's what I care about.
It's always, but money is, that's always going to happen. Like, if you're the man, your salary is going to be out there in the forefront. It's going to cause drama. You're going to do what you got to do to get the top dollar. You still want to be with the team, but you also want to get paid. I don't see what's wrong.
I'm not wanting anybody not to get paid. Like, and I think maybe that's coming across, and I apologize. I'm not portraying it well. I'm not a very smart man. I just hate, like, that holdout into training camp. Like, once it gets to that stage, I'm just like, man, yeah, it affects it. And it's the Michael Crabtree effect for me. One, I've never liked my but, like, dude, F you, man. Like, F you. Like, you never gave a shit about anybody else but yourself.
I hear you, bro. I hear you. I hear you.
And I'm not saying that's Trent, and I'm not saying that's Bosa, but they're closer to that end than they are the other end for me. I don't know.
I don't know Nick Bosa's antics, but isn't he up for some type of a contract extension after this year, which makes me think he's going to get like 19 to 20 and a half sacks this year.
A restructure because of the huge cap hit. But they built that in. It was built to restructure. And he will get a restructure because he's going to be 29 next year.
Yeah, but how much do you restructure him? What if his numbers are low? Right. But he's going to command, like, we talk about a guy like, I never understood this because I know Nick Bosa didn't do the same stuff as other players have as far as their antics to get their money. We talk about a guy that didn't sign his rookie contract to like the week of the games. The same shit. Just wasn't posted on social media. certain players, they value themselves as a commodity, as a piece, as a business, and they want to make sure that them as the business, not the player, not the person, not the human being, but them, these players are literally all 1099s. If you could look at it from that perspective, maybe even me, like, I'm a 1099 guy, like, right, you're a 1099 guy, like, I want to make sure I love what I do. The passion's not going to leave, but I also don't want to get abused financially and overworked and overlooked or whatever. So I get it. But I get your point. I get where you're coming from. I just feel like I don't think Trent has lost any passion in playing football.
And I don't think there was ever a point he wasn't going to play. He just knows I could bend him over a barrel and get more. Yeah. Like he's like, they're going to have to pay me.
Game, your chick chose me. A lot of people probably ain't seen the movie The Mac, but hey, go watch it. You know what I mean?
Love it, man. I love it, man. Hashtag all the Schedule C's out there that are with us, man. But man, dude, so let's put a bow on this. Let's wrap this bad boy up. I want your four, right? So you go Brock Purdy one.
Okay, here we go. Whoa, I thought we were omitting Brock Purdy.
Sure, he's out. My bad.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. So,
I tried.
No, I thought we were omitting him because he's clearly the number. He's the Voltron. He's the Black Lion, right? He's like the right. All right. So that. Let's go. That's what we're doing. We're building our Voltron. All right. So we got Brock, boom, whatever. I think Trent is up there. Then I think Fred Warner. Christian McCaffrey, Nick Bosa.
Ooh.
I know I'm going to get slayed, but it's all good. And I probably meant to say, I see 1099 at tax form. That's what we have to file. So W-9, I think that's what it is or whatever.
Yeah. So my order was Fred Warner, Trent Williams, Nick Bosa, CMC. I put CMC last.
That's fair. But I know how you think. Yeah. Like, I get it. I think you said there were no right or wrong answers, which there aren't. But you, as long as you explain with the context why yours is the way it is, and I explain it why mine is the way it is, I think the context is what makes it more clear for people to follow along.
Yeah.
I was never a huge fan of the Power Rangers because they were straight copycats off of...
Kim?
Yeah, okay.
Kim?
Yeah.
Well, I was in, yeah.
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 Pink, yeah. I just never a huge fan because they were biting off of Voltron.
Yeah, it's very similar. And yeah, right here, can't add Kittle in there. I removed Kittle just because the injury for this year, because I do not expect, like, the same people that are saying Kittle will be ready week one were the same people that said Ayuk could possibly be ready week one and all that stuff. Like, I'm sorry, an Achilles at 32 years old that happened in January. Like, I really hope, and I love Kittle as much as anybody, but like, not like he's right there next. He's next.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, man, but it's hard when you go from top five to top 10. Like, now we got a little bit more wiggle room, right? But to say Kittle is so important. Like, this offense is the weirdest offense. I understand why Fred Warner could be number one too. Like I said, he's the literally the heart of soul of this team. Literally. He's the Energon Cube out of Optimus Prime. Literally.
Oh, I love it, man. Look at this. Monkey Boy. No right or wrong answers, but mine's less wrong.
Yes.
That is great. Johnny Dale, surely Kittle is sleeping in Fred's hyperbaric chamber, right?
I think George Kittle is Batman. He's going to be available to go week one, yo. Like, it's going to be crazy. Just imagine, like, them in Australia and them showing up full force.
I know. Kittle's like, dude, there's so many fans here. I can make all of them my fans.
Bro, I swear he's going to pull, like, one of those wrestling, secret wrestling, you know, antics or whatever, where maybe he does an Undertaker role or something. I don't know. But I just feel like George Kittle's going to be ready to go week one.
Oh, man, I hope so. Wayne, you are making life easier for me because I walked into this and I'm going with your ranking. So I had them tied. They're tied with the same amount of votes. And so I was going to go Fred,
I'm bumping up. Sorry, Fred.
It's okay. It's okay.
No, it's not.
Next time we hang out with Fred, I'm telling him.
I know. He probably already watching. You chose that motherfucker over me.
He'd smile and be like, nah, I get it, man. Like, he's so like, yeah, he's great. I'll never forget, man. We're hanging out with Fred and all that in Vegas. And he comes over to me and he just, like, the nicest guy ever goes, hey, man, do you mind if I just hang out for a little while longer? Like, he finished his time and his allotment. And I was like, yes, Fred Warner, you can.
Well, we could talk about the other guy too, since we have maybe 2 minutes left, who didn't want to do that because the other guy was
did not.
Pause.
I don't like putting negatives out there too much, but
okay,
I don't
say
know
less. I just didn't, you know.
We had Elijah Mitchell there too, and it was his first appearance. And his agents do their job
for
and
sure.
She walked up with a stopwatch in my face and hit click. She's like, time
that's
starts.
Probably why he's not in the league.
I wouldn't mind bringing him back. I think we could use him as depth. Like, I'd prefer him over, like, a Sincere McCormick or, you know, on the back end. Because I do think running back's a little light, and he knows the scheme. Like, similar to how you've brought Keyshawn Vaughn back and, you know,
Amir Abdullah
back. Like, you know, those back end guys. Yeah. I wouldn't mind that.
Hey, I mean, if he's healthy, I mean, it's crazy because, man, we were on the verge of having a 1,000-yard rusher and this, you know, 4-3, 4-4 guy and just health. He got hurt in that Chicago game. Was never right ever since.
It was the
right?
next play after Trey Lance's.
It's the next play after.
It's the next play. Knee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was
what a rough patch for that kid.
Back
man.
To back. Yeah.
Tough.
Anyway. All right. Wayne, what else you got this week? What can we look forward to on the Wayne Breezy Network? Shoot, man. You got everything going on over there.
Oh, right. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Listen, man. It's a lot. So just subscribe to the channel and just be ready for mad updates like every single day, 3, 4, 5 times a day. I got daily poll questions going on every single day, just in the community, trying to I just want to reach out to as many as I can, you know what I'm saying, while I have this time and just to get to know people, just to respond to their comments and stuff like that. That's where I am in the stage of where I am. I need connection more than anything.
We go through shit. Like, I hope people understand, like, and I remember this, and you probably do as a teacher, like, dude, you got to flip a switch.
Yeah.
The bell has rung. It's now time to be here. And so, and we do that for here too, but like, man, we're both going through some stuff and like, we appreciate everybody reaching out and we love
100%.
Y'all.
100%. You have no idea.
Dude, everybody's like, it's cool. The community comes together and lifts up whenever people are down. And so, yeah, sometimes we need it too. I'm not very good at being vulnerable on here, but man, yeah, keep being Wayne and our families and all that kind of stuff and your prayers or whatever it is, your positive thoughts. But we love y'all. Next time we're together, get Wayne a seltzer, get me a beer. That's what
it got to be. High Noon, though. All them other ones, they're just not good enough.
He booed.
I don't know.
He booed. I'll drink anything, I don't care.
John is will yes for sure.
Swimming with the I'm in.
But I'm anyway. Right there with you, making sure everything is good. You know what I'm saying? I keep everything peachy and smooth. I'm the designated awareness guy. You know.
Look at this from Michael. He says, "Chappie, Fred versus Trent is would you love me if I was a worm?" Oh, I love it. Yeah. Anyway, you guys are the best. Man. Wayne, take us out of here, my friend.
Faithful, if you smell what the John is cooking right here on this Rush Podcast channel, you better be locked in. We got streams for you guys. We're not going anywhere. We're not taking crazy long breaks. We might take a week off, whatever, but we will be here bringing you high quality 49ers content. Make sure you stay locked in right here on the Rush Podcast channel, as well as the Wayne Breezy. Until next time, keep it faithful to the Bay. We out this Jones.